Shane Lehman is not a stranger here at Church of the Word, Landisville. And we are really grateful that you are here today to give us a fresh word from heaven that's going to change our life forever. So Shane, come on up and be a blessing to the people.
I should have said this before she sat down, but Karen, could you come back up here? It only seems appropriate, you know, with Pastor Sid where he is and with Karen being sent to minister somewhere else next Sunday, we just spend a moment just to pray for them and thank them for what they're doing. I heard somebody say once, there's no safer place than the will of God. So I know over a year ago, Pastor Sidney was talking to me about, all of a sudden just seems like the Lord dropped something about Turkey on his heart. And I don't know what all's going to come of that, but I know if you follow the will of God, it'll be the provision, the safety, the protection, all you need. So let's just join us in prayer. We'll pray for Karen as well. She heads up to minister next Sunday. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for how you brought us together as believers into the body of Christ. Father, we can be a blessing one to another. And Father, you call us to go around the world and take the gospel of truth in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for Pastor Sidney right now, Father, as he is at a what would be naturally seeming a dangerous place, Father, but he is in the very center of your will. And we know, Father, your angels watch over and protect him. We know, Father, that you will continue to do a work in his heart, Father, as he is in that place, Father, where you've called him for this time. Father, you would reveal to him the things that he is to do, how these things relate to what you're calling him to do and to be and where you're calling him to go in the future, Father. That you would bear witness of these things, Father, in his heart, as you would bring him back to us safely, and that the body of this church would continue to be a support to whatever the will of God is, Father, for his life and for those in this church, Father. And we thank you also for Karen, Father, for the blessing she is as she is being sent forth next Sunday to be a blessing to minister to those women up there at Pastor Bob's church. Father, we pray you would just continue to give her a fresh word in that time, in that season, for those people and for that place. And Father, we thank you for the ministry of your Spirit as you send out those who are your leaders in the church, Father, to edify the body of Christ, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And we just thank you and give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I am blessed to be here. I get to see so many of you at different times. Some of you who come to the Armada Landmark yearly, or when I come here to share, or when I just see you one-on-one. I'm blessed to be here. And it's interesting. As some of you may know, I run a preschool for our church, one of my jobs, and another job I work with the American and the Pennsylvania Pastors Networks. And I'm sure you know of some event that's coming up in the next month, I believe it's November 8th, called the election. No, that's not what I'm preaching on today, but you know, we would be foolish just not to be aware of the times that we live in. And for the past few months, the Lord's really been stirring a word in my heart. I didn't know for who, where, when, and when Pastor Sidney called me and asked me to come and share here, the Lord said it was for that. And so it's a word on unity in the church. And just look around our society here in America, just the place where we live, and there's so much division, not only in society, but even in the church. I meet with about a month, a brother of mine who's a pastor of a church down in the Glen Rock area, and he's more from a fundamental background, but he and I get together in fellowship, and he's part of a group. It's not a denomination, but it's a different non-denominational group, fundamental, that they're told they shouldn't associate with people like me. And for the mere reason of a few of the things that we might believe differently, none of which have anything to do with salvation or the Great Commission or the big picture things. And it's grieving to me. And there's things the Lord wants me to share this morning that I pray, as Ephesians 4 says, those who are ministers of the gospel are to equip the saints for your perfecting, to do the work of the ministry, and to be an edification to the body of Christ. So I pray this morning that what I'm going to share will challenge you, will encourage you, and will stir you up to do what the Lord's called you to do as it relates to the body of Christ, as it relates to the work of the ministry that he's called you to, not to compare yourself to anyone or anything else, yourself, this church, anything, but that you are faithful to what the Lord is putting upon your heart. Just as the Lord put on Pastor Sidney's heart, Turkey. I remember back when the Lord put Russia on my heart. I was in college, and some of that gets to what I was going to share later, but I'll share some of it now. I had identities in the wrong things, in the wrong people, in the wrong places, and the Lord challenged me with that, brought me to a place where I really began to seek Him fully, and then began to stir in my heart missions. I had never been on a plane. I'd never been out of the country. I didn't own a passport. And he's calling me to go on a mission trip to a foreign country with nobody I know. Those were his criteria. And so I did. And I don't think it was Google back then, but whatever the online search was, I had to do a search for, well, what are mission trips? Where do you go? How do you write a support letter? All these things I found online. Just, that's where you searched, even back then. But when I got to the place, when I first got to Russia, the Lord said, this is the place. I didn't know much else than that. But when I went back and was there, when I was in that place, the Lord revealed more. So we're believing that as Pastor Sidney is in that place, that the Lord will reveal more. And as you are in the place where the Lord is calling you to, He will reveal more. But He requires that step of faith. He will put something on your heart. Don't cast it off. Don't justify or excuse it away, because it's for the glory of God. I was sitting in my kitchen yesterday, and my son, Evan, my older son, was coloring at the table, and I'm at the other table trying to feed my other son breakfast he's not enjoying. And my other son starts singing this song, and I'm going to apologize. There are just certain songs that when you hear them, they just get stuck in your head. Some of them you wish they didn't. And this is one of those, I'm going to apologize ahead of time, but it relates to the message. So my son is sitting there. Anybody ever see the Lego movie? So my son is sitting there singing, everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. I'm just starting, sitting there feeding my son. Realize what I was singing. But you know, I paused to listen to the words. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when you're living the dream. It's so funny how out of the mouth of babes, as the scripture says, sometimes the Lord will even use something they say, even a silly song that seems totally unrelated to anything spiritual, to teach us and reveal something to us. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Shane, this is how I look at church life. It is to be, well, as she said earlier, as Jesus is to be the life of the party, well, this is the place where we are to gather together, where true life and joy and excitement can come as we are part of the body of Christ. And on a more local level, as you come together where the Lord's called you and planted you in this church. When you come to this place, my question for you is, what expectation do you bring? Is it just a social outlet where you get to see people who you like? Are you coming and expecting the Spirit of God to move in great and miraculous ways? What expectation do you bring? And we'll touch more on that later, looking at the expectation that others brought. But I had something happen to me recently. You may or may not have noticed, I've been walking a little gingerly. Last Thursday, I was playing soccer, which I love to play soccer. And I got my hamstring injured really badly. And you know, I tried to walk on it, and it was just, I was kind of limping around. But you know what I noticed? My hamstring's the part of my body that got hurt. But other parts of my body began to be affected as well. Not just my body, but my being. You know, when you're thinking about your body, yeah, you might notice, oh, I'm walking a little stiffer in how I walk, in my toes and my feet. And my spirit, my faith, oh, how am I challenged in my faith to believe for healing? And in my soul and my feelings and emotions, man, I just feel awful. I can't play for my team. You know, it affects all of you. When one part of my body got injured, it affected everything. But God has a perspective on the body of Christ that I just want to share with you this morning. Open your Bibles to Psalm 133. We'll look at a few scriptures here first. Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Behold, take notice, pay attention, how wonderful, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And turn up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "I therefore," this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And one last passage, look back on John chapter 17. See, John chapter 17, this is Jesus speaking right towards the end of his ministry. And he's praying for those the Lord had given him, his disciples. I want you to notice them. Pay attention to what phrase you hear is repeated. You know, a principle of teaching, when I'm teaching, if something is important, I'm going to repeat it because it's likely going to be on the test. So, repetition is important. Take notice, when God repeats himself, it's the same principle. It means it's important. So look here down in, start in verse 11. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thee, through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Skip down to verse 18. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you have given me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Another, when you look up the word unity, it's the concept of oneness, or something being joined together. Well, that was exactly what Jesus was praying for. He's thinking to himself, "I'm about to leave and go up to heaven, finish the work God's called me to do, but these people who have been with me are going to stay here on the earth and continue the ministry and the work that I started as being part of the church. And I know the devil's going to try to come to bring division and sow discord among them to hinder the work that I've called them to do." So he's praying for them that there would be a oneness, a singleness of mind, to be like-minded in what the Lord is calling them to do. The Bible gives a number of illustrations regarding oneness. In Ephesians 5, it's actually the entire book of Ephesians, if you really read it, is talking about unity all the way through. Now, it focuses on certain parts, but a couple of illustrations. One is on marriage. Ephesians 5 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And you see that concept of oneness, of joining together, and as Jesus, or as God said back in Genesis, "Be fruitful and multiply." Well, to be fruitful and multiply, you have to come together. There's a joining, there's a oneness, and the result is increase and fruitfulness. And we see that same pattern in Ephesians, back in Ephesians 4, talking about a body. We all have bodies, so we should be able to understand some of these things that he's saying. Jesus, they always provided illustrations that are on a level of our understanding. God always meets us where we are. He doesn't try to speak in eloquent words way over our heads that we can't even pronounce. He wants us to understand these things. So with the body, he says, from in Ephesians 4:16, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I know that's a big verse to swallow everything, but I want to point out a very important pattern. I once heard a man, Edwin Lewis Cole, a very influential man in my life. He's since gone on to be with the Lord. He started the Christian Men's Network, and his ministry was to men, and his motto was that manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. And we still watch his videos every month at our church for men's meetings. It's a wonderful time of being imparted to from a man of God. But one of the things he said, one of the many things that's got one in to me, he said, everything God does, he does according to a pattern and based upon a principle of his kingdom. Everything God does, he does on purpose. Everything God does, he does according to a pattern and based upon a principle of his kingdom. So if we pattern our lives after the principles of God, you will see increase. So when you're looking through Scripture, look for the patterns. Look for those principles that govern everything God does. Ask the question, why did he do this? Why this? And he will reveal it to you in his word. But back here in Ephesians 4:16, the whole body, so a body is the entire thing, fitly joined together and compacted by every joint, or our body has joints, according to the working of in the measure of every part, and our body has parts, maketh increase of the body. See, the pattern there, very simply, Ed Cole points it out, and I'll get back to this verse then. He provides the pattern in this way. Identification leads to involvement, leads to, identification, involvement, investment, which then produces the increase. So identification, involvement, investment, increase. Your body is made up of many parts. Many parts. And our bodies, the parts don't really have a mind of their own, usually. But your parts function as they were created to function. They identify themselves as part of the body. They identify themselves relative to what their specific role and function is in the body. Then there's the joints. They join together with the other parts of the body. And they supply, they do their part, they give of what their role is for the body, whether it be a bone, whether it be a ligament, a tendon, a muscle, they do their part, and the result is there's increase in the body. But when one part, like my hamstring, when one part chooses not to or is unable to do its part, it affects the whole body and hinders the ability for that increase to come. See, God wants increase to come. Scripture even says there that God is the one that brings the increase. But we have to realize every single one of you, without exception, every single one of you has a very unique and specific role to play in the body of Christ. Every single one of you. And your role is no greater or lesser valuable in the eyes of God, or any lesser or greater value to the body of Christ and what you have to contribute. Every single one of you, every single one. God leaves no one out. Every single one of you. When you look at each other, do you see that? You know, when you look at each other, when you look at any other believer, are you able to see beyond what you might think are the shortcomings or the faults or even the sin in their life, and maintain hope for the prospect of the potential that that person holds of what they can bring to the body of Christ? God does. Praise the Lord, he does. He sent his son to the cross, maintain that hope. Even look down from the cross in the moment of persecution and said, Father, forgive them. But what about us when we're being persecuted or hurt by someone else? Are we able to still look at that person and see them as God sees them? Or do we just see them as it relates to how it hurts us? I'm not saying we have to enjoy being hurt. But if we really want this all for the sake of the body of Christ, so that there can be increase for God's glory, if we don't care about the glory or care about the credit, we're not going to necessarily care about what happens to us. In terms of the big picture, we're going to care more about how I act. I remember when I worked at, and you may have heard this before, so indulge me. But when I worked at a hospital before we moved in the mission field, I worked in the respiratory department, one of the departments there. And it blew me away when we work with patients in a long-term acute care facility, respiratory, they've smoked for many years, not all, but most of them were smoking related, and they have these trachs, and they have these tubes down their throat, and they're just gunk, and it's not a pretty sight. And one day I'm trying in and trying to change someone's mask and cover and clean it out, and I'm heading back to the office, and I look out the window to the smoking section, and there's a respiratory therapist. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you be so stupid? I'm thinking this. I'm just being honest with you. You work with these patients who are where you're going to be if you don't stop what you're doing. I didn't get it. And I was very upset, and I was praying about it. And the Lord said, Shane, what's more important? That you convert that person from a smoker to a non-smoker, and they still go to hell? Or that you have a concern for their soul, and you lead them to me, and let me take care of the rest? Needless to say, my perspective changed. But we all have those encounters, don't we? With people or situations that bother us, annoy us, or even hurt us. But if we see ourselves not as an isolated member of nothing, but as a part of the body, that's why it says when one member suffers, we all suffer with him. When one member glories, we all glory with them. As a body. You know, when my hamstring got hurt, trust me, the rest of me grieved because it was hindering my ability to function at its best. The norm for the Christian life should not be defined by the common experience of the majority of Christians, but rather by those patterns and principles that are in the Word of God. And it's amazing how I found the common experience of people I talk to, majority of Christians, say miracles are rare and not to be expected. Sickness is normal and just needs to be endured. And the result is their faith is weak, rooted in works and empty wishes in their prayers, not in a covenant that they have with God, which gives solid ground to their faith. And the result is there's little increase in their life. And their lives look just like the world, and the world labels them religious. There's nothing other than their religious things that they do that makes them look any different. That is not what the church is supposed to look like. That's not what it did look like back in the book of Acts. That's not what it has to look like now. It can look like believers coming together, giving of themselves, of what their role, what their part is, being involved, investing in what God's called us to do, and then God bringing the increase, the power, the manifestations, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. That should be normal to us. The question is, why isn't it? And I say that not judgmentally or in condemnation, but to challenge us. What are we expecting God to do in our lives? What are we expecting when we come together corporately for God to do? Not any one person, not the worship leader, not the pastor. God will use them to help bring us together as the body so God can then bring the increase. That's what God wants to do. But back to that pattern, identification leads to involvement, leads to investment, leads to increase. You know, when I have anybody in here do any gardening or ever deal with weeds, how do you get rid of a weed? You nip off the top, you know you got to get to the root. And if it's a big tree, it's going to take a little work to get that root system out. But it's a principle. If you want to get rid of the thing entirely, you have to deal with the roots. Satan knows that too. You know, John 10:10 says he comes really only to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what his plan is for you, to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he understands that principle of, I want to stop this person from being fruitful, from there being increase in their life, where do you think he's going to eventually focus on? The root. Your identification. Not only with Jesus, which is important for every believer, that's their point of reference where they start, but they're brought into the body. their identification with where God has placed them. Ephesians 4, I think it's Ephesians 4:18. I forget, but it does say in the Bible, you can trust me. I'll look it up later. It says, God places every member in the body as he wills. God places every member in the body as he wills. Not as we will, but as he wills. I'm sorry, it's 1 Corinthians 12:18. I knew it was one of the two. I like to be accurate. 1 Corinthians 12:18. God places us in the body as he wills, as it pleases him, not as it pleases us. Wherever God has called you, be committed to it. That is the place of blessing. That is the place of protection. That is the place of provision. That is the place where the increase of God can come in your life. But if you step out of the will of God, you're no longer having access to those things. And when that happens, or when you see it happen to somebody else that you know, all the more as a body, we need to be praying for the ministry of the Holy Spirit for reconciliation. That's why it says there, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Not a ministry of division or separation, a ministry of reconciliation. Always wanting not only our body to be healthy and strong and united, but also reconciling the world to God. You know, reaching out. I noticed something interesting I hadn't caught before. There in John 13, when Jesus is saying, to his disciples, this commandment I give you, and it says, by this the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. If you love one another. You know, he's talking to his disciples as it relates to their love for the other disciples. Or we could say, for Christians, with their love for other Christians. If Christians themselves in the church are divided, what's going to draw the people out there into the church? What's going to draw them out? Nothing. It's going to turn them away. And they see it. They're all divided and bickering among themselves anyway. Why would I want to be part of that? And we're missing the whole point. That identification is exactly what Satan wants to do. In Matthew 12:25, Jesus gives us a principle. Division leads to destruction. Matthew 12:25, he says, a kingdom divided against itself shall come to desolation. A city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Notice, kingdom, city, house. Big picture, a little smaller, where you are. Nation, city, state, your home and family. In every realm of life, that same principle applies. If you allow division into your home, into your family, into your church, or if a nation's divided, it will lead to destruction. Inevitably, unless there is reconciliation, which usually necessitates repentance, a humbling of oneself at any of those levels. We can't afford that. There's more at stake than just what we get out of life. I know there's a... If any of you are following the news, there just seems to be division everywhere in America as a nation. There's the church aspect where we have 1,001 denominations, most of which won't work with each other. I can say that truthfully, working with the Pastors Network, American, and we're trying to focus on the major in the majors and minor in the minors, and people want to major in the minors and don't want to focus on the majors, and it just causes mayhem. There are bigger things at stake than just an election, or just your denomination, or just your offering pouch, or your pocketbook. There are bigger things at stake that we have to realize and pay attention to for the glory of God. These things we see with the racial issues, the political issues. Last Sunday, I had a chance to, I was blessed to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers game versus the Eagles down in Philadelphia, and they got trounced. Oh, it was an ugly game. It was so hard to be there. If you're Eagles fans, you had a great day. Pittsburgh fans, not so much. It was rough. But something dawned on me. We're way up, sitting up there. Those seats were expensive. I can't believe how much they cost. Anyway, it's just amazing. I'm looking around, all around, thousands of people. And there was this one girl in front of us, Pittsburgh fan. We tried to, all of us. I was there with my dad and my siblings, and we're all Steelers fans. And it was just looking around, and we're losing and losing. And this girl was just like seeping more and more into just like depression. It was just all over her because her sports team is losing. I'm thinking to myself, who cares? I'm enjoying the expensive food, and I'm here with my family, and here in a big atmosphere. But I realized how many people, their identification with their sports team, something as seemingly trivial as that, can just bring division. The devil will use whatever opening he has in your life to bring division to any and every area of your life. That's why it says in Ephesians, give no place to the devil. I mean, that's a good verse in that, hey, he can't just come and take over our lives and ruin it. No, he can only do that if we allow him. So again, we have to just judge ourselves. Is there any area of our lives where we have allowed him in or where he could get in? God will reveal it to you and just repent, deal with it, and move on. But we have to judge ourselves. We can't think, I don't know how else to say it. There is just so much at stake. God's big picture. God wants a big family in heaven. And are we distracted with the affairs of our own lives that we miss that big picture at times? I remember a few weeks ago talking with a friend of mine. He goes to a church down in on the beach, and I think it might be Jersey or else Delaware. I'm sorry, no, it was Virginia Beach. That's where we were. And this person said the church they were going to, the pastor was moving on and somebody else was coming in. And this new pastor decided, you know what? We're just going to, for worship, we're just going to, you know, play secular songs. We want people to come in. We don't need, you know, Christian songs. And we don't even need to talk about the Bible every Sunday, really. And this person, this friend of mine, was just distraught. She's been part of this place for so long. Now this leader, pastor, senior pastor, is now coming in as replacement, and is compromising the truth of the Word of God, the name of Jesus, for the sake of getting butts in the seats. And then when he preaches, again, it's more of a, from what she said, it's more of a feel-good, but there's no substance. So what if you have a whole church and they all go to hell? What was the point? All right, you speak the Word of God. That is the power of God unto salvation. You compromise speaking and preaching the Word of God, you are a powerless mouthpiece that does no good. And so we have to realize, yes, we want unity. God wants unity, but never at the expense of compromising His truth or His Word. Because then you render that place, that church, your life powerless. And we can't afford it. But now there are some other areas I'm going to touch on of our lives that can sometimes be, and I'll be all honest in my experience, hands off for many people. But that's none of you, so I'm excited to be able to share these things with you. None of you have those hands off areas of your life for God to touch and speak truth to. And I believe it. Priorities. Your priorities in life. I remember in the last year, around a year ago, I was in a conversation with a close family member, and we were discussing some things relative to a family vacation. That's fine. And we're going to leave like a Sunday after church and then for a period of time. And they said, we're going to go and we'll just get this great deal, you know, get 6 nights, 7 nights free. Ha! Awesome! That's just great. And I said, that's not going to work for us. You know, we'll just leave a day early and we'll come back and be at church on Sunday. And a short while later, the same person came to me and said, Shane, I love you, and just the part of this life I'm a little concerned about, I need to just talk to you. Okay, what is it? I mean, what do you see about me that I don't see? And they said, I think you're a little too committed to your church. And the context was related to, well, why can't you just miss church once? What does it really matter? Family is important. And please hear me right. Going to church is not just a mere works. I don't go to church because somebody says I have to. I don't go to, well, God does, but no person. I don't do it to get something from anybody. There's nothing, there's no value in and of itself of going to church if your desire is just to go to church to justify something in your life or to give a show to somebody else. There's no value in that. You go to church, yeah, it's the will of God, but why? Why do you go to church? Because there's something God does there when the body is gathered together that doesn't happen on your own. The same individual, to my shock, or not to be shocked often, but I was shocked, said to me, you know that verse in Hebrews 10 or 11, where he says, and do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Well, this person used that same verse and said, see, wherever Christians are, we can just gather together and God's there and we'll have church. See, when you interpret Scripture in light of your experience, you'll end at those kind of conclusions. But you need to interpret your experience in light of truth. Yeah. Then you'll know you will not end up in error. But too often we have those experiences, those values, those priorities in our lives that sometimes out of alignment with God's priority. Whether with family, whether with church. You know, we see in the book of Acts, he all talked about this phrase, and I encourage you to read that 4 or 5 times. Remember, repetition means importance. In one accord. In one accord. You saw them being in one accord, and then what happened? Great movings and demonstrations of the power of God. They were in one accord, and what did you say? See, great increase. Thousands added to the church at that time. They're in one accord. The key to growth and increase, which God will bring, goes back to that identification and being involved and being committed and being invested where God plants you. Never fear that you're going to miss fulfilling the will of God if it doesn't line up with your timetable. Proverbs, there's a proverb that says, a man's gift makes room for him. A man does not make room for his gift. When you try to determine God's timetable for what you're to do in life, you will inevitably end up in error and out of the will of God. Find God's will for your life. Be content. Be faithful. And God will come. I mean, look at the guys in the Bible. Look at Joseph. I wouldn't have considered that to be my plan and path in fulfilling the will of God. But he remained faithful. So there are many things here I could share. Wow, that went fast. I am about out of time. I'll share this last thing which I have to say. 2 things. One, the key to unity is love. In every passage you see throughout Paul's letters and what Jesus said, love is what continues to keep us meek and humble before one another. And remember this, people are messy. There's a verse that says in Proverbs, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. There will be times you'll have to clean up other people's messes, and you'll make messes, and maybe you clean up your own messes sometimes. People are messy at times, but without people, there can be no increase. When you look at each other, this is who the Lord has knit you together with. Come with great expectations as to what God's going to do. You're not going to miss out on anything when you are in the will of God for your life. Your gift that you have, God, it will make room for you. God will open doors. God will release the timing. God will use you in a way that you never thought possible. Trust in God's plan for your life. And at all stakes, keep the big picture perspective. It's all about God wants a big family. Praise God, we're part of it, but He wants more. Do we want more? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, your heart that you have for us, how you sent your Son to forgive us our sins even while we were still yet in our sin. Thank you, Father. May that be an example to us in how we look at our brothers and our sisters within the church, whom you've called us with, whom you've anointed us to be with, and you will use us in that place, Father, to be committed, to identify with, to be involved, to invest in, so you can bring the increase for your glory. Father, use these things today to continue to change our lives and to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. I believe that was a fresh word from heaven for all of us today. Ministers are at the front here. If you need any prayer, please come up. And otherwise, we're all going to head downstairs if you can come with us for food and fellowship. Thank you so much, family, for being here. And let's just continue to love on each other. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a live church. When the children are released, half the church goes. It's amazing. That's life. That's populated church growth. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, will you turn them to John 3:16? I have a question. How many of you can stand up and quote John 3:16? How many? Let's stand up. All of you can quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look around. This is Church of the Word International. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Wow. The whole church stood up and quoted that scripture. Praise God. God said to me, don't become so familiar with the Word of God that you forget the power in each and every word. You know, just because we're Church of the Word and we got a powerful word here, this is a rich, rich word church. We teach from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. Amen. Thank you. Everything in between. We don't tear on any papers and pretend they don't exist. Amen. So if God so loved the world he gave, then what do you think God wants us to do? Give. It's our nature. So I would like the ushers, if anybody needs an envelope, please raise your hands. The ushers will accommodate you in that. If God so loved you, and he did, he gave his best in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ came and gave his best, didn't he? His very life for you and I. And they did it with great joy because they saw one day you would spend all of eternity with them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ushers, you can go ahead and pass those buckets, and the people will be obedient unto the Lord. Amen. It's a great privilege to give into the kingdom of God. You know, we could write these checks out to Father God, because you give to Father God. He's the Lord of the harvest. You don't give horizontally. You do naturally, but your heart, you're giving vertically. God said, give and it shall be given. He's the one that gets to you. How many of you know that? Don't look at people. Even though it comes through the hands of people, God puts it on the hearts of people. So always give to the Father and receive from the Father. Amen?